This afternoon, we open the Word of God in the Old Testament. First, in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 7, page 333. And then in Isaiah 43, Joshua 7, verse 1 through 12, Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 21. I will repeat that after. So first, Joshua 7, we hear the word of God. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few." So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" So the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy the accursed from among you." That's our first passage. We now turn to Isaiah chapter 43, page 1118. 1118 in our Pew Bible. Isaiah 43, the verses 1 through 21. "But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore I will give men for you, and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. I have formed him, yes, I have made him. Bring out the blind people who have eyes, and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved. I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am he, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, the Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. Those are our two scripture passages to illustrate the first petition, which is the text for the sermon of this afternoon. Hallowed be thy name. We confess regarding it in Lord's Day 47, page 60, in the back of our Psalter hymnal, page 60. There we echo the word of God regarding the first petition. Hallowed be thy name means, help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means, help us to direct all our living, what we think and say and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. That's our first petition. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we address God as our Heavenly Father to express our faith and trust in him. For he is a gracious God. He is a great God. That's what we confessed in Lord's Day 46 last week, brothers and sisters. He wants his children to come to him, to rely on him. He loves it when they speak with him in their inner room, as the Lord Jesus indicated. We also love to express our faith and trust in him in our intimate communion with him, as we confessed in Lord's Day 45. For faith affects our life, our heart, our mind, our feelings. Faith moves us to speak with God as our Father, speak about everything in our life with him, share all our needs for body and soul with him. Is that not a wonderful thing indeed? Speak from heart to heart with God, the Father. Is that not amazing? And trust yourself to God's fatherly care, knowing that he is willing to help you as a faithful father and able also as an almighty God. For he is our heavenly Father, right? He is a great God. Now, when you live that intimately with the Father in heaven, beloved, you can't keep that just a matter of the inner room. Such interactions and communications won't be a matter of a good feeling only. You speak about that. Your heart flows over with thankfulness for such a wonderful relationship. Also, when you are out in the workforce, you show that you seek your Father in prayer. Receive your Father's gifts with thanksgiving. Then you don't just take your food and take a bite at lunchtime. You acknowledge it as a gift from the Father in prayer. Seek his blessing over it in prayer. And if people ask you why you still do that, pray before your meal, you tell them, he is the giver of all good. I can't do anything without his blessing or help. You speak of your heavenly Father. You show your thankfulness as his child in the way you speak, in the way you act. You reflect it in your attitude so that people will say, I guess you are a Christian. That's how you radiate the light of God that's come into your life. That's how you express your desire that others too will know him and believe in him and trust him. Yes, praise him. Indeed, beloved, that's the purpose of for our deliverance, that we may live to the glorious praise of God again. That's why the Father made us as his own, that we would live for him again, and that he would find pleasure in our life. Our Heavenly Father, who created us in his image, wants to see us reflect that image again. That's why he gave us his Son and his Holy Spirit. That's why he delivered us by his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and renews us by his Spirit after the image of Christ. He wants us to live in such a way that his name is the greatest name on earth for us. A name you want to know, a name to honor, a name to trust, a name to praise. That's why the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, first of all, our Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. So I proclaim, Christ redeemed us that we may live to the praise of God's glory. We see, first of all, we pray for a true knowledge of him. And secondly, we pray for a true reflection of him. So I summarize the message of this afternoon as follows. Christ redeemed us that we may live to the praise of God's glory. We pray for a true knowledge of him. We pray for a true reflection of him. So first of all, we pray for a true knowledge of him. Hallowed be your name. This petition, brothers and sisters, expresses the child's desire to see the name of his heavenly Father become special in his life. It's the opposite of taking the name of the Lord in vain. That's when people use the name of God as if it does not stand for anything, as if it doesn't mean anything special. When people use the name of God thoughtlessly, flippantly, disrespectfully, or as a meaningless expression, God the Father is dishonored. For he has manifested himself in so many ways and by so many works that this name shall bring his greatness, his glory to mind. The mention of his name should make people speak with awe, with words of praise. As the Heidelberg Catechism puts it, from the works of God shine forth his almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. His works are like a beam of light with all the colors of the rainbow. What he has done throughout history, what he has shown throughout this world is so glorious, you will have to praise him for it. And what he still does in the midst of this world, in our personal lives also, is so great, you will have to speak about it. Even though you can't see him, he still shows a lot of himself. However, you've got to see it, of course. You have to be able to see it. Well, that's what this petition is all about, beloved. For as you are well aware, people don't see it. Most people don't even want to see it. People see so much misery, chaos, and absurdities in this world, blaming God for it, that they would do anything but confess and praise him. As well, for many people, God does not have a name in this world any longer. Neither does he play a role in this world. So that his name may be good enough yet for an expletive, a swear word or so, but that's all. I hope you realize that. For many, the name of God is a name of the past. Decades ago, people would still speak about God. People would consider God's work, God's will, also for public life. Presently, however, his name doesn't play a role any longer. People have forgotten the name of God. God? What do you need him for? Nowadays, people have different names to live by. Sports heroes, political leaders, company names, celebrities in Hollywood, or the names of fashions. Right? So how is that for us? Do we see him, acknowledge him, and reckon with him? Hallowed be your name. Your name is more than a name. Your name is your fame. Your name stands for mighty works, works of creation, of recreation, and of salvation. It's important, beloved, to note that also the Heidelberg Catechism puts its answer in the form of a prayer. Help us, first of all, that we may rightly know you. Help us also that we may so direct our life. God, our Heavenly Father, has to give it to us that we hallow his name. God has to open our eyes for it so that we may see his works, He has to open our ears, our hearts and minds for it, so that we may acknowledge his works and praise him for them. Oh, it's not as if they're not obvious. On the contrary, says the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, verse 21, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. So it's not God's fault that his name does not stand out thanks to his mighty works. It's man's doing. When they explore creation and present its mysteries, its beauty, and its fascinating features, they won't mention the name of the Creator. They would rather express themselves in the foolishness of an evolution theory than that they would acknowledge his name. That's why we learn to pray, beloved, hallowed be your name. Give that we may know you, recognize you, and praise you for those works. Yes, we pray for a true knowledge of him. Then we pray for something that God has heard long ago already. For God did make himself known to us in his word. We know him by faith in his word. That's why this first petition is first of all a prayer for the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the illumination of the Holy Spirit, a prayer for insight and understanding of God's word. For the more we read about him in that word, the more special his name becomes to us. The more we know about his works in the long history of this world, the more we stand in awe of his great and glorious name. Now, when we read the Bible without prayer, God's word remains a closed book. Maybe interesting, perhaps, and the stories and so on, but we won't get to know God from it. However, when we pray without reading the Bible, we won't get to know God truly. Then we may pray the words, hallowed be your name, but we won't really know how great and glorious he is. When we read the Bible, beloved, we learn to recognize God in his works of creation. We do not only hear how he called all things into being, we also learn from the word of God how all things in creation serve to praise its maker. O Lord, our Lord, how glorious is your name in all the earth. That's then the kind of response for which we pray in this first petition. That's what he wants, our Heavenly Father. For that's how he manifested the greatness of his name. Then we learn as well to recognize and acknowledge him in our daily life, in his gifts and blessings. Yes, we will glorify him for what he has enabled man to produce from his creation. God made man a little lower than God, David exclaims. Well, you can say that again today. Except that not too many people give credit where credit is due. That's why we pray, Father, give that we do praise you as the God from whom all blessings flow. That's why we pray, Father, give that we won't forget what we heard about your promises to Adam, to Noah, to Abraham, and to Moses. Give that we won't neglect to speak with awe of your justice and truth in the flood. Give that we won't take for granted your great power in delivering your people from Egypt. Give that for us the path through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, through the Jordan may never cease to amaze us. You can imagine, beloved, how great the Lord's name was in the life of Joshua's parents. When Joshua was born, his parents wanted to glorify and praise the Lord, praying, "May the Lord save." That's what they called their son, Hosea. May the Lord save. Then Moses, when he appointed Hosea as his successor, wanted to emphasize the Lord's saving power even more. He changed it into Joshua. The Lord saves. The Lord does save. That name must come first in your life, in your name, Joshua. Well, that's hallowing God's name. That's living your life, confessing his name as the first and foremost, as the greatest of names in your life. And that's what Joshua did. When he saw the mighty work of God, when the walls of Jericho fell, one person among the Israelites, however, did not see it, did not acknowledge it, and did not hallow the Lord's name, Achan. You see, then it showed how important it is that we know him rightly. For if we live and work and pray without giving due honor and respect to God's name, then he won't save. As Israel saw at Ai. Now, did you notice, beloved, what Joshua did when they were defeated at Ai? He prayed to the Lord and he asked what had become of God's name. That's what's so moving in Joshua's prayer. There's only one great name in his life. He just cannot accept it that this name could lose its greatness all of a sudden. Lord, hallowed be your name here in the sight of these tribes in Canaan. Your name stands for deliverance, not for defeat. That's not something that can be taken lightly, though. God certainly doesn't. In fact, he doesn't even want to hear this petition from Joshua. You can't use that name as you please and live your life, do your thing as you want. The Lord wants to make his name great among the nations, not anyone else's. The Lord wants to see his people live for his name and not for their own. Well, that's what Achan had done, selfishly. We cannot live for the Lord and at the same time please ourselves, satisfy our own pleasures and desires. That's why we have to examine ourselves, discern our heart and mind, and see what we are living for before we pray. Hallowed be your name. Do we actually want that? Do you see, beloved, how important it is that we pray for a true knowledge of the Lord, our Heavenly Father? Father, will you make sure that we hallow your name in such a way that you be confessed as the almighty and wise, good and just, merciful and faithful God? Will you give that we come to see and recognize your works in which your virtues shine forth, and that we show the greatness of your name in a way of life that honors you? For that's how the Lord's people are standing in the midst of this world. That's what the prophet Isaiah conveys in the passage we read. The Lord placed his people Israel among those nations to be witness to his great and mighty works. They were able to testify of his mighty works in creation, in the Exodus, in the conquest, and in the return from captivity. And that's our calling too. And we have much greater reason to hallow his name and to seek the praise and glory of the Lord. The Lord saves. That's so true when you see and confess him in his gift of his Son. Therefore, beloved, the name of the Lord requires an open ear for his word. Hallowed be your name, then you need to open his word. Pray this petition in the morning when you get up and before you go to work, but take the time then also to read his word and to start with a meditation on his word. Pray this petition when you seek a word of comfort in the Bible, a word of encouragement or admonition. Pray this petition, brothers and sisters, before you go to church, so that your hearts may be opened for the proclamation of the gospel, for what the Spirit has to say to the Grace Church of Dunville. And so we come to our second point. We pray for a true reflection of him. So just like the people of Israel, beloved, we are called a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? What for? That his name be hallowed, that you may declare the praises of him who calls you out of darkness into his wonderful light, that we may become reflectors of God's radiant glory, that we may so direct our life, our thoughts, words, and actions, that his name is not blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Now, that's not something that happens automatically. We have to pray for that. You shall be holy because I am holy. That doesn't happen without prayer. So how is that, beloved? Do we let God's light shine among men in such a way that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven? Do we reflect God's holiness, his goodness, his mercy, his love, and his power? Or are we standing in the way of that light, blocking it? Do people get a good impression of the Lord whom we serve? Or can they come to the conclusion that this God of ours can be all that great because we never talk about him? And we never show ourselves to be different than the other people in the world. No, that's not a negative insinuation that I adduce. This is the way his people Israel turned out to be, according to Isaiah's prophecy. They were so very privileged and special as people of the Lord, yet they showed so little of it. God did the same with the people in Peter's days, those alien and strangers whom the Lord had set apart to walk in that wonderful light of the Lord. However, when later on the storm of the Islam came up and the Muslims flooded the region, it appeared how weak and how shallow their faith and commitment to the Lord had been, for the church had disappeared completely. That's why we have to pray that we may truly reflect the Lord our God, that we may show ourselves true and thankful children of the Father. Beloved, what great and responsible position we have in the midst of this world. Just as the people of Israel in the old dispensation, today the congregation of the Lord is standing like a lighthouse in the midst of this world. What great disasters will happen when the church no longer reflects the light of God's glory in the midst of this world? How many lives haven't run onto the rocks because the parents didn't show the light of the gospel? What shipwrecks we see all around us of churches that have left the true preaching of the gospel. Indeed, we are strangers in the midst of this world in order to be a blessing for the people around us, that with our words and deeds we may bring the great and mighty deeds of the Lord to light, that in our words and conduct we may show how the grace of God has changed us, has changed our attitude, and has healed our lives. That way the people around us may see and stand amazed at what God has done to your life. That way the people around us may glorify God. Now that doesn't happen just like that. That happens upon prayer. That's what we live for, beloved. The glory of God, our Heavenly Father. That's what we are delivered for. The glory of God, our Heavenly Father. That's what we pray for. Father, will you change my heart and mind in such a way that your name is honored and praised because of me? That through my way and walk of life, that wonderful light of the gospel radiates to others, so that they too may desire to walk in that wonderful light. Hallowed be thy name. That is also, as Peter said, help me to cut into my own flesh, to abstain from sinful desires, that I may not give in to them and so endanger my faith, my life with the Lord. Hallowed be your name. That's a prayer for a new heart and a renewed life. For a renewed congregation also that is standing in the midst of this godless world as a source of love and as a beacon of grace. Hallowed be your name, beloved. That's also something in which we fall short so often. So that we must pray, Father, just like Achan did, I am standing in your way of salvation and glory too, quite often. Therefore, continue your work of salvation in me, Father, and in this world, and among the nations, so that the day may come at which we will stand without sin in the full light of your glorious majesty. Then with all the saints, we will hallow your name and sing together, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and is to come.